Okay, let's unpack this a bit.
Yeah.
Imagine having this like super smart assistant. It can draft emails for you, summarize really dense reports, maybe even brainstorm marketing ideas.
Yeah.
Just ask it.
Right.
That's basically the promise, isn't it,
Yeah.
of these generative AI tools.
Yeah.
ChatGPT, Claude, Perplexity, Gemini. It's
Exactly.
the other.
That's the promise. But the real question is, what happens when you drop that power into a field like pharma market research, which is, critical, complex. So that's the territory where we're sort of digging into today, our deep dive. It's based on this document that really lays out how these tools are showing up there, looking at what they can do, their specific strengths, where they're being used, and this is crucial, the limitations, the things you really have to get your head around.
And the source highlights something fundamental right away, doesn't it? This isn't just like a better search engine or predicting the next trend. This is AI that actually creates stuff, new text, images, ideas. It feels like a whole different ballgame.
It absolutely is. And that creative part, that's what opens up new possibilities. But it also brings in unique challenges, especially, like you said, for pharma market research. Accuracy, nuance, these things are just non-negotiable there.
So our mission today for you listening is to kind of navigate this landscape. We want to show you what these specific tools offer, how they're actually being used now in pharma MR, but also, really importantly, shine a light on the weak spots
Yeah, the pitfalls.
and how to use this power, well, responsibly. So let's maybe start with the players, because the source seems pretty clear they're not all the same.
Not at all. Yeah, think of them as different tools in a toolkit. Each has its own focus.
Yeah, where should we start? Maybe the big one, ChatGPT, OpenAI's tool. What's its main thing?
Well, ChatGPT's real strength, and the source points this out, is how conversational it is, its fluency, and just generating all sorts of content when you ask it to. It's great for, say, brainstorming sessions, drafting different kinds of
Like
texts,
emails or.
emails, or maybe initial report sections. And it's pretty good at explaining complex stuff simply.
The source had that example, right? Salesforce using Einstein GPT.
Yeah, exactly. It's built on OpenAI tech.
And it helps their sales teams write personalized emails using CRM data.
Right. So you see the practical side immediately. Speeds up communication, helps target it better.
So that's ChatGPT. What about Claude from Anthropic? The document mentions safety.
It does. That's a key differentiator for Claude. It puts a really strong emphasis on safety and a more nuanced understanding. It's based on this idea they call constitutional AI.
Okay, constitutional AI. Sounds significant. Can you break that down a little? What does it mean in practice? How does Claude actually work differently because of it?
Yeah, good question. So instead of just learning patterns from, tons and tons of text, constitutional AI tries to train the model to follow a set of principles, like a constitution. Principles like being helpful, being harmless, being honest. It's about guiding how the model behaves, steering it towards safer, more ethical responses, not just predicting the next word it thinks is most likely.
So it's like it has guardrails built deeper into its training to try and get less problematic output.
It pretty much, yeah.
That makes sense then. Why the source says it's strong with longer, complex stuff like clinical trial protocols or regulatory documents. You'd want something careful there.
Precisely. It can handle large amounts of text, digest that complexity, and stick to those safety guidelines. So, yeah, it's a good candidate for analyzing dense, really critical information.
Next one mentioned is Perplexity. This one feels a bit different. How's the source describe it?
Yeah, Perplexity is positioned less like a general chatbot and more like an AI research assistant.
A research assistant.
Yeah. Its main thing, its core strength, is giving you answers that are directly cited. It shows you its sources.
Whoa, okay. So it doesn't just make up text, it tells you where the info came from. That sounds incredibly important, especially for research,
I feel
especially pharma.
absolutely critical. In pharma research, knowing the source, being able to check claims against the original study or an official document, well, that's everything, isn't it?
Yeah, you can't just guess.
No. So Perplexity sort of bridges that gap between a conversational AI and, say, traditional search. It gives you synthesized answers, but they're tied back to verifiable sources. That's a fundamental difference, and it makes it really valuable when you need factual accuracy.
Makes sense. Okay, last one on the list. Google Gemini. It's Google, so I'm guessing integration is the story here.
That's a big part of it, yeah. The source highlights Gemini's deep connection to the whole Google ecosystem.
Email, Drive, search, that stuff.
Exactly. And this isn't just about searching the public web. It means Gemini can potentially interact securely with your own stuff, your internal documents, your data sitting inside Google Workspace.
Okay, wow. That opens up totally different possibilities then.
Yeah.
You could, like, analyze your own internal market research reports?
Potentially, yes. Or competitive intelligence briefings, maybe sales data if it's all living in your company's Google Drive or Workspace.
Right.
So for companies already deep in the Google ecosystem, Gemini offers this powerful way to get insights from their own private internal data without needing to shift it all somewhere else.
Okay, got it. So we've got this lineup, ChatGPT, good for general stuff, brainstorming, Claude, focusing on safety, good for long docs, Perplexity, the research assistant with citations, and Gemini, strong on integration, especially with Google Workspace internal data.
That's a good summary.
So how does this actually play out? According to the source, how are these tools being used, like, right now in pharma market research?
Well, the document points to a few key areas where they're already making a difference. One big one is content creation.
Okay, examples. What kind of content are we talking about?
Think about getting initial drafts going. Things like survey questionnaires, maybe.
Okay.
Or patient recruitment materials. Even drafting sections of a competitive analysis report. The AI can whip up multiple versions really quickly.
Which has got to be huge, right? Instantly get different versions for different audiences, or just options for A/B testing. Saves a ton of time on that first draft.
Definitely saves time. And another major use is research synthesis. This is where the AI's ability to chew through lots of text really shines.
Like feeding it a pile of clinical trial summaries or something.
Exactly like that. Instead of someone manually reading, you know, potentially dozens, even hundreds of dense papers.
Yeah, that takes forever.
Right. You can feed them into a capable model. The AI can then spot common themes, pull out findings that maybe conflict with each other, or highlight where there are gaps in the evidence much faster than a human can do that initial pass.
Wow. Okay. I can see how that would seriously speed up things like lit reviews or just getting a handle on complex data.
It accelerates that first layer of analysis.
And competitive intelligence. You mentioned that.
Definitely. These tools can quickly scan public info, competitor websites, press releases, investor call transcripts, regulatory filings.
All the public stuff.
Yeah, and summarize key strategies or pipeline updates or how they're approaching market access. And
looping back to Perplexity, This is where those citations would be gold again, right?
Absolutely.
You could trace the AI's summary right back to the original press release or filing. Verify it.
Verification is the key word there. Which actually brings us neatly to the other side of the coin.
Ah, the limitations.
The limitations, yeah. The source is really emphatic about this, and understanding these is absolutely essential, especially in pharma. The stakes are just too high to ignore them.
Okay. What's limitation number one, the one everyone seems to talk about?
Hallucination. That's the jargon, right?
Yeah.
It's when the AI just confidently makes stuff up, information that's factually wrong, maybe even nonsensical, but it sounds completely plausible.
And in pharma,
yeah.
It's not just like an oopsie. That could be genuinely dangerous.
It could be incredibly dangerous. Imagine an AI hallucinating details about how a drug works.
Oh, boy.
Or misstating clinical trial results. Or getting regulatory requirements completely wrong. If someone uses that unverified AI output to make a decision about patient care or trial design or market strategy, the consequences could be severe.
Right. This isn't just getting a quiz question wrong. This is potentially real-world harm or huge business risk.
Exactly. It paints a very clear picture.
Okay. So hallucination's a big one. Mm-hmm. What other limitations does the source warn about?
Knowledge cutoffs. This is a big practical one. These models, they're trained on data up to a certain date.
Meaning they literally just don't know anything that happened after their training finished.
Correct. So a drug approved last month. A major trial result announced yesterday, new FDA guidance this week.
The AI is clueless.
It won't have that information. So that makes them less reliable for anything that's changing fast, like drug development or policy shifts. You just can't assume the AI knows the latest critical piece of info.
Good point. And then there's the ever-present issue of bias.
Yes, bias. The data these things are trained on is massive, and it reflects the biases present in the real world in the text and data it learned from.
And then it can leak into the output.
It can inadvertently creep in. So, for example, if the training data, say, overrepresented certain demographics in medical studies, the AI might generate content or analysis that subtly reflects those biases, maybe about patient groups or treatment effectiveness or even market potential.
Which is obviously a huge concern for global pharma companies trying to develop equitable solutions and market to diverse populations. You definitely don't want your tools accidentally baking in more bias.
Absolutely not.
Okay, so we've got these amazing capabilities, but also these really significant limitations, hallucinations, knowledge cutoffs, bias. Given all that, how does the source say we should actually use these tools responsibly?
Well, it sounds like the message isn't don't use them. It's more about integrating them smartly, right?
That's exactly it. The most effective way forward seems to be leveraging their strengths, you know, for first drafts, brainstorming, pulling together initial summaries.
Getting that first 80% maybe?
Kind of, yeah. But, and this is the critical part, while implementing really robust safeguards.
So use them to get a head start, but never, ever treat what they produce as the final word.
Absolutely not. The source really hammers this home. The absolute necessity of always verifying critical information, anything the AI gives you.
You check it.
You have to check it against authoritative, trusted sources, official databases, peer-reviewed publications, regulatory sites, expert review. Double-check those facts about drugs, trials, rules, market data.
So they're like powerful co-pilots. They help you navigate faster, maybe see things you missed.
Good analogy.
But you, the human expert, you are still the pilot. You're responsible for where the plane actually lands.
Exactly. And that also means, practically, having review processes in place where actual human experts check, validate the AI output, especially before it gets used for big decisions or sent to clients.
In transparency, too, being upfront about it.
Yeah, being clear internally and maybe with clients, too, about when and how AI tools were used, and what steps you took to check the work that builds trust.
Trust is everything, especially when you're dealing with health information.
For sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so pulling this all together, the main message from the source material feels pretty clear. These generative AI tools, they offer just tremendous potential to speed things up in pharma market research.
Yeah, making content faster, synthesizing complex data more quickly.
But, and it's a huge, but that potential comes packaged with serious risks, especially the risk of getting things wrong or being biased.
Right, which means human oversight, rigorous checking. They aren't just nice to haves, they're fundamental, essential requirements if you want to use this responsibly.
They can definitely boost what humans can do, augment our capabilities, but they are absolutely not a replacement for human expertise or critical thinking or, frankly, ethical judgment.
That's a really crucial distinction to keep in mind, always.
Well, this has been a really fascinating exploration. It's such a fast-moving area.
It really is.
We've looked at the different strengths of key tools, ChatGPT, Claude, Perplexity, Gemini, how they might be applied in real-world pharma market research scenarios.
And maybe most importantly, that non-negotiable need to understand the limitations and have those safeguards in place.
Yeah. It really seems to be about harnessing the speed, the scale of AI.
While absolutely maintaining the accuracy, the integrity that the pharma world just demands, you can't compromise on that.
Which kind of leaves us, and you listening, with a really interesting question posed by the source material itself. Something to think about in your own work. How could we use generative AI to accelerate our research and content creation processes while ensuring accuracy and maintaining our quality standards?
Yeah, that's the balancing act, isn't it?
Yeah.
How do you get the speed without sacrificing the quality and the trustworthiness?
Something for everyone to chew on as they think about how these tools might fit into their own world.
Definitely food for thought.
Well, thanks for joining us for this deep dive.